Paul, will you help us do that?
Our worship tonight is a gathering in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll introduce our hymn, which is hymn 491, in this way. When you sing 491, keep your mind, keep your senses on bread, but not just bread. Just go through the bread, but to the bread, but through the bread, to the one who breaks the bread, gives the bread, and takes us to the Father of the bread. We sing. Would you hum it once? Knead the dough. Don't knead it too hard because it's got to go 20 minutes. Okay. Chris, I'd like to have you come and wedge the clay. If we could get all the village into the village center tonight, we would. And all the work and all the pleasure of all the people. And while the clay is being wedged and the conversation with the dough and the baker will begin soon, I'm going to ask for Libby and Char and Mary Jo to bring some of the other goodies of the village to the altar. And we're going to just pause for a moment for this great work of housekeeping and a poem. Stay right at the altar with it and receive the gift.
Housekeeping means crisp sheets and clean covers so you and I and others can sleep. Housekeeping washes all kinds of duds and all kinds of suds so we don't have to go naked. Those rolling barrels of hot dryers roll and tumble, spill and bumble, upside, inside, outside, which way, every way. Then the irons, narrow and bright, working and shining far into the night. And when the bus leaves, you dash to the beds, presto, change-o, clean towels for the heads. And when the buses roll in with the guests, you smile as you handle impossible requests. So housekeeping, housekeeping, it's you that we mean when we say thank you for keeping our village so clean.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life, and for those things we eat and smell and taste and wear and need and share. We thank you for all those in the village, all those who have left, and all those yet to come, who in some way put their sweat, their joy, and their favor into this place. We ask tonight that you might see our entire village as your altar, and that you might see these two candles as standing just anywhere where children play and run, where old men and women whistle, where we raise our heads and ask why, and marvel at how it is each day so good. We thank you through your Son, who brought us this kind of sight for this kind of time. Amen. You can sit on the altar, or you can go to your pew. Everyone who isn't in the altar area can imagine tonight that this is your place, and it's a time to feel the wholeness and the holiness of God. I was thinking tonight that if I had brought along one of my favorite shirts, I would have brought the one that has the word "the" in it. It's a marvelous word. And this morning again, and in many times, we've heard the meaning of words, you know, the clarity of words, the fuzziness of words. And I have a word called "the" on a sweatshirt, which I have worn here at Holden. And I was thinking that if I could make a shirt for someone whom I know in this village, I would make a word on his shirt called "soul." That would be for Jim Burtness. And isn't that a marvelous word, soul, or therefore? It's one of those pivot words that takes us from one place to another. "The" was my favorite word, a very insignificant word which I wore here once at Holden, and some people were insulted. They thought it meant "the," it meant "the." They thought it stood for theology, it stood for "the." And they didn't want it to just be "the." It was "the." On Christmas I wore "the," a humble word. Rhymes with anything, the floor, the ceiling, the word, the boy, the girl. Such a kind, gentle word. It's like the word "soul," "therefore," "and." It's not so much like the word "but," "or." It's more like the word "soul." "Love the world," "that he." Great words. I could see some of you walking around for a week with a "that," or a "however." I would like to give a gift tonight. Carrie has been asking me for 2 days, "Where is the stone that you wanted to give me?" And I found it, and where is Carrie? A little rock. This is for you, Carrie. I washed it off, and later on in the worship service, when you're brave enough, I want you to have it. She said she'd get it at Vespers. And while I'm giving her this little rock, I want to take you to another great song of Holden. Not only "Da Da Boom Boom." Come here, Carrie. I'll give it to you. You just come and take it out of my hand when I'm not looking. Lois, there's a great song that we can sing off this rock, and in case Carrie takes it and I don't. Are you scared? Well, then let's not tell the people. She's all right. She's scared. And Matthew, come up with me, and we're going to sing a song. "Little Rock." I'd like to say the same of the clay. "Where have you been?" Or this rock. I got it in Baptist Garden. Matthew shared some rocks with me today, and I thought, I have a rock that someone gave me who came from Spain, and I saved this in this little sock, and I brought it all the way from Germany, and I didn't know how I would use it, but I know how I'm going to use it tonight. I'm going to give it to Matthew. Well, we'll sing and see if it sings. "Little rock, little rock, where have you been? Little rock, little rock, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, rock, where were you? Little rock, little rock, where have you been?" Now, if children have brought little pebbles or rocks, hold them up, and we're going to sing with those. That's it. Get your hymnals up high. And the rest of you who don't have this rock hymnal, just read the rock. And we'll do it now. Second stanza is exactly as the first, called "Little Rock." Now, look at a rock. It helps you. This is pre-print and post-print. Before they printed the word "bread," they were eating it. And after you get done singing it, you can go and eat it. But here's the word "rock." Okay. See it, Matthew? This is your rock. It's got a nice cross on it. "Rock, little rock,
Where have you been? Little rock, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, rock, where were you? Little rock, where have you been?
Chris, hold up the clay. We'll sing clay, it works very well.
little clay, where have you been? Little clay, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, clay, where were you? Little clay, where have you been?
There's a history song tonight. We're going back to where things were before they came here, to where we are. And that's how it is. Before I came here, I didn't have 5 pounds I have. You could sing Little Herb, Where Have You Been? But we'll go to the next stanza is Little Doe. And dough is a whole world. We're going to find that out in just a little while. We're going to get that little piece of dough on the organ. But right now, little dough.
Little dough, where have you been?
Let your mind float.
Little dough, to the fields. Little dough, tell me what you've seen.
Rain and sunshine.
When the earth was hot and new, where were you, dough, where were you? Little dough. Little doe, where have you been?
And a great history song, not only for doe and clay and rocks, but for boys. The little boy who was one, he's now 47. But that little guy is tucked in there, hiding maybe. He's still quite alive. So why don't we sing to all the little boys in here, any age, little boy. Here we go.
Little boy,
look at him.
Where have you?
Right there.
Little boy,
and there.
Little boy, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, boy, where were you? Little boy,
think about it.
Boy, where have you been, little girl?
Little girl,
look, little girl,
see him?
Where have you been?
Get a little more self-conscious.
Little girl,
that's right.
Little girl, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, girl, where were you? Little girl, where have you?
And then finally, after you can sing all the one-syllable words like little soul or little the and all those words, then you sing the one who really gets into all those places and was there at the beginning, namely, Little Lord.
Little Lord, little Lord.
I'd like to have Chris put that clay on the wheel and make something for wine. Make something for some community, maybe this community someday, maybe not this Sunday, but the following. And you don't have to look, you know, exactly how it's going to happen in the next few minutes. It'll take him a while. And when it's done, he'll unite it with something else, and we'll see it. I'd like to talk to the baker, and I need Paul at the organ to help me talk to the baker. First, I must find an introit with you, Paul. I must find one of these sentences that I'm going to read from the story in John 6, and when it sounds like we've got something that we can sing, or that feels like as though we can own it, then that's going to be the refrain to which we return, not in words, but in a tune. But you play what you hear. And Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. That's right, just play Jesus going, that's right, there he goes. And he saw that the crowds were following him, and there were many because it was a time of the Passover, and Jesus went into a mountain and he prayed. And when he came out of the mountain area and saw all the people who were still waiting for him, he saw they were very hungry and he had compassion. And he said to Philip, I don't think we have enough. Do you think we have enough? And he was testing Philip, and Philip said, We're broke. We haven't got enough. And Andrew came. I think it was Andrew who said, I see a boy with some loaves of bread and two fishes. And it was enough. And Jesus said to the hungry people, you really like to eat, don't you? And they said, we're so hungry. He said, you really like food and sandwiches and peanut butter sandwiches, don't you? They said, we like it. We like that manna that came from heaven. Oh, we like that. We like those food stories, they said to Jesus. We like especially that food story about Moses taking the children of Israel, our forefathers, through the desert, and there was manna from heaven. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, that's nothing compared to the food that my heavenly Father sends down. And they didn't understand. He said, when you eat what I have to bring to you, you won't ever get hungry again, and you won't get up in the morning and say, oh, I hope I don't miss breakfast. He said, you will be satisfied. And they didn't understand, because they thought he was only talking about bread. But all the time that he had bread in their eyes, he was trying to point them to his Father. There it is. That's the one. He was pointing them to his Father. And everything now that we're going to see that the baker has told us is in this dough will point us to the Father. It doesn't only point us to breakfast. It points us through the breakfast to the Father. And if we eat this bread, maybe Sunday at our Holy Communion service, Nancy, I don't know, maybe we will. If we do, even that will point us to the Father. So what is it, first of all, that went into this bread, baker? What was the beginning of it? Yeast and water. So that's what we're going to hear on the organ now. Yeast and water, and then we're going to hear it pointing us to the Father. And then what, baker? How much? Half. Half of the flour. Half of the flour. Can you play half of the flour, Paul? That's beautiful. Not three quarters. Half of the flour. Beautiful. And then what, baker?
Salt and honey.
Salt and honey, Paul. So that we can tell the difference. And then what, baker? Shortening in the bread. And then what, baker? The other half of the flour. And all this flour and all this salt pointing to the Father, the Creator. And then what, baker? All of that together. Let Paul see what you've got there as he plays this now.
And while you're there, Paul, for just a moment, play the spinning of the clay and the coming of the chalice and the pouring of the wine. How fantastic that in the giving of a stone as a gift, Matthew, to me, and I'll look for them in the dining hall tomorrow, and my gift to you, in Steve's bringing the wood, representing all the wood and all the trees and all the saunas and all the sweat and all the rejoicing and the cold splash and the maverick, all that there, and in the bread and the breaking of it, so that we do not stay alone. Not that the bread doesn't, you know, just sort of evaporate, but that we do not stay alone. And in the pouring of the cup to each other, that we do not drink alone, Jesus comes. It's like what Jack was pointing us to last night. Where is this Jesus? There. When they come with the linen, there. When we come with the fire and the wood, there. When we come to receive and to give our bread and share it, there. When we come with our gifts, our talent, and our wine, and our fruit, there, where we play the organ, and there, where we find the rocks and take walks with our teachers, and wherever. And to give thanks to this God of the Trinity, we now join in that great song, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of rhyme, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of time. And maybe tonight we could even say, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of clay, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of hay. Oh, we could get new tunes, new song verses. So here we go, rhyme and time. Da, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of rhyme, da-da-boom-boom, Lord of time, da-da-boom-boom, one. Two, three, da da boom boom, Trinity clay, da da boom boom, Lord of clay, da da boom boom, Lord of hay, da da boom boom, one, two, three, da da boom boom, Trinity. And now bread and dead. Da-da-boom-boom, Lord of bread. Da-da-boom-boom, Lord of dead. Da-da-boom-boom, one, two, three. Da-da-boom-boom, Trinity. And now grace and space. Da-da-boom-boom, Lord of grace. Da-da-boom-boom. I was thinking how very ordinary one finally gets things to, like 66 books in the Bible. That's not very fancy. It could have been 67 or 52. And some people make a big deal out of 66. It is important because each book is important. But how one remembers these things is really various and probably ordinary. Now, how many disciples are there? 12. I mean, in the scriptures recorded at the end of John 6, it says, and I have chosen 12. That's very lovely. I found a stick, and I think this may help us. So you count when I point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So you can always remember, Jack. There you have. You have 12. On that stick, it's a numbering system now. We have 3 on this. So you can always remember Trinity. How does one remember? By the breaking of bread. When someone says, can I help? And someone says, you need a back rub. Someone says, here's a stick. Someone says, Herb, I brought you a rock. And one half is smiling and the other half is not. How do you remember? By the helping someone who has no coat, by the turning of a wheel,
and the making of a gift, and the pressing of the dough, and the chopping of the wood, and the writing of a poem, and saying to somebody, it's warm, isn't it? And they're hurting, or they're tired, or they are warm, and you noticed it. That's where he comes, in those ordinary times and places. And now, Al, I need you to help me hold a dish. That's right. I'm glad you dressed especially for tonight, because our closing hymn tonight is such a beautiful hymn that I think the children and you and I need to celebrate it in a special way, because the hymn that we're going to sing is 584. It is a marvelous hymn about Jerusalem, the golden. I mean, look at the colors and the pictures, and there's going to be honey, and there is going to be milk there. So I thought we might get a good running start tonight, and I'd ask the children to come up, and Al and I are going to give the children, if they, you know, just come kind of gradually. I'll keep inviting you a few by a few, you know, not many by many. And Al and I will give you a little bread dipped in honey and milk, and it's warm, and it's marvelous. There may be just enough for the children. And then you can tell your fathers and mothers how heaven might taste while they sing.
Tonight, in the next 25 minutes, we will have Christmas. And if we keep going, we'll end up with Easter. And I think we're going to keep going until we've got Christmas and Easter together. I want to tell you a story about a word. There is in this village a man who likes words. He's not the only man in the village who likes words, but he likes words, and he likes a word that you can find in the Bible. It's called soul. God so loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son, soul. Well, he doesn't say it that way, but I noticed today that someone is already stitching a soul. And this is going to be his gift. His name is Jim. He likes soul. Tonight I want to give you another word. It's a marvelous word. It's a Christmas word. It's the word if. If. If what Jesus did is so or true, then watch out. If Jesus could walk on a tempest and a storm, he can come to my fear. If Jesus can weep for a city, he can get in my tear. That's a song. It's a Christmas song, an Easter song. If you listen very closely, you're even going to hear about a manger. John and Marilyn and Chris. If, and another word, cause, because. That's the other word we're going to embroider. I've got people embroidering these already. Cause. Why? Why does Santa bring us toys? 'Cause, that's the big word. And Narnia children are going to sing a song that Lois wrote, and the big word in it is 'cause. And we're going to hear it now. That's why. 'Cause. If. So. And now our closing word tonight. Wow. Wow. It's really wonder. But I was looking for a single syllable word. It's wow. The lights down. Violin, organ, and every time you hear Marilyn and John and Lois sing a song like O Little Town of Bethlehem, you sing just that one stanza. If you hear them singing, while shepherds watch their flock by night, just hum along, but don't hunt in the hymnal, because by the time you find it, we're going to be done with the stanza. So this is Christmas. One reason I know it's Christmas Day is that last night Rich Kemmerer had his Christmas Eve lights on in his chalet 11, and he told me this morning at breakfast, I heard you were going to have Christmas Day, so I had Christmas Eve last night at the top of the hill. So it is Christmas, and they know it, and they're on their way home, and we can't change it now. And another thing is that last night he talked about thankfulness and humility. And he got us going in the direction of wonder and mystery and marvel. And I don't see how we could stop after last night. So tonight is Christmas, and we're going to keep going until those Easter eggs in the middle where the Christ child could be lying make sense. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In the field, with cacti and caves and roses and grass among the rocks, shepherds in smelly skins and sweaty shoes and dirty knuckles, shepherds in matted, uncombed hair in the field.
Oh. flock by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord lay down, and garnish shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized the troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind.
There were shepherds out in the field, men in the field at work, working outside Bethlehem, north or west of town, or was it south and east of town? Men in the field somewhere, ordinary, extraordinary men. Go down Main Street, turn two blocks right, up the alley, now left and straight ahead, and there lives the man. A few men on the ground overhauling something they need in the fields, overhauling engines in the shop down on the ground where men work, among engines and motors and gardens and cement and bricks. Men working in timber and tools and mountains and trucks and missiles. Men at work and then with their sheep on the ground. In that region, in the field, the shepherds waited. They watched sheep and they waited. Men working and waiting. Men who fix cars and tractors wait. The psalmists waited. Kings waited. Sarah waited. David, Isaiah waited. Ruth, Hannah, Joseph waited. Simeon waited. Israel waited. David, Joseph, Hannah, Simeon, Mary, men, shepherds, Israel, America waited.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Christmas comes. In the Holy Land, in my homeland, in any land, among those with dirty knuckles and greasy overalls and aprons and sweaty shoes and perfumes, those with white collars and clerical collars and bow ties and no ties and house coats and uniforms and dress suits and bathing suits and sloppy dressing and all kinds of dressing, Christmas doesn't need dressing up. Does not need decoration. It does not need preparation. It does not need December. It does not need covering the body just right or folding hands in silence. Christmas does not depend on keeping watch over sheep or typewriters and cars and machinery and employees and classrooms and a section of land or a store or a house. The shepherds were just out there being at work, just keeping watch over their flock by night, and Jesus was born.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth. And praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on.
Calendars do not tell when Christmas comes. Man does not read it off a wall or the face of a clock, for Christmas appears. It is in the fields, in the middle of sheep sleeping, the inn, in the midst of hammers pounding, motors roaring, multitudes walking and people sleeping and rocking. when people do not have the time or the power to get ready, Christmas comes. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear can hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, a dear Lord. In that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them.
Hark, the herald angels say, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the sky, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
And an angel of the Lord appeared. Where are the newscasters? Where are the predictors, the waiting crowds and engineers and cameras and boom mics? Where are the program directors and the reporters? 1 minute away from the moment that he was born, and the crowds and engineers and newscasters were not there. 1 minute away, and they did not know. Not even secret intelligence people knew, not even the government people weren't coming across country to celebrate. No jam telegraph lines, no children counting off weeks and finally minutes with excitement, no speeches with meter and rhyme and nervous parents in front of congregations, no busy mailman, no deep freeze stuffed with cookies, none of all these things. The angel of the Lord appeared. Nothing on all the earth like speeches and telegrams and cookies and cards and human kindness and charity could make Jesus be born. None of this. The birth came by itself. Christmas belongs to God. He gives it when he wants to, why he wants to, and where he wants to. Christmas belongs to God first, so that every human eye may see God and hear God. In the mouths of men and women, children adore him. Ordinary mouths of people adore God.
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, join nothing of angels, O come.
Now for the next part of the reading, get closer, because there will be fear. Get closer together. Just a little closer to each other. Take care of each other so we can go on with our story. And now it says in the story, the angel of the Lord appeared saying, fear not. Christmas belongs to God and then to us. To the inside of us, where we are afraid, where shepherds are fearful, it comes to the hearts of us. when our knuckles are dirty and our clothes are greasy, us with white collars and dress suits to our hearts, not to our house, not to our town, not to our city, not to the frosted windows and the beautiful main street. It came to the shepherds inside where the shepherds carried their fear. There, in there where we fear. There where decorations and cookies don't reach. There inside where everyone has a special room for fear. Fear does not discriminate. It does go with us into our sheepfold, under the grease rack, up the elevator, into the cathedral. Fear is no respecter of people and ages. It makes no choice between the rich and the poor, sheep herders and royalty, executives and farmers and teachers, the young and the very old. Fear is no respecter of people. And they were filled with fear. Angels could scare a grown man half to death if an angel crept up on him in the shop or in the office or while he was on a tractor. And a woman could be scared by an angel or even by Christmas if God, if she did not know for sure how God comes. It is where people need to know for sure about something that matters very much for sure, about matters and matters very much to them, that Christmas came and comes. Do not be afraid. Fear not, for the angel said in plain words, be not afraid. So why are we afraid? Sing, choirs of angel, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. And then maybe for a while you can open your hands like this and receive some of what I'm going to read now. It says, and the glory. Open your hands and get it. Maybe not so high, just down in your lap so no one sees you. But get it out there. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The light was on. The light was on them, maybe for 5 minutes, maybe 1 second, maybe not the way clocks count time. This was not kilowatt or spotlight. This was not floodlight. This was the glory of the Lord breaking through and shining, not on a house, not on a colonial door, or on a huge chimney, and not on a silver tree. This light was on shepherds, in shepherds, around shepherds. Make no mistake about it. Christmas is from God above to people on earth, people scared like us. God's light shone on them. They did not know how it came. It did not show that they were tired or poor. It showed that they were scared, just scared. The shepherds were scared. Christmas was good news for those afraid, for now they knew for sure what only God can know and can tell. They were hearing what no one can find out unless God somehow says it. And God told the angels to tell the people and to call it glad tidings, good news. It is a great joy which will come to all the people, all people, Holden people, shepherds, presidents, cooks, pole vaulters, queens, hired hands, actors and soldiers, those depressed, those oppressed, athletes, sick, children, ministers, meat packers, alcoholics, governors. Fear is no respecter of persons. Nor is Christmas. We can turn a gift down because we already have one, or it doesn't fit, or we don't like the color. But what God gave that night and tonight, while they were waiting and we keeping watch over whatever we do, what God gives down in the alley in the grease pit, or beyond the mountain, or in Narnia, fits. It fits the fears of big men, 10-year-olds, toddlers, women, someone, anyone, everyone. Christmas is for everyone. It comes from God. It is not like Christmas presents. It cannot be bought or looked at. It cannot be opened or set on the table. You cannot hug it. You cannot hug the one who gave it. You cannot kiss God or thank him by phone. You can do that to people, but not to God. You can only be amazed and dumbfounded and wonder and wonder and wonder.
The world in truth and grace and mercy. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders of his love.
Last night, bread here had been made the week before here. We ate bread that had been kneaded here. Tonight, we have, where the manger is, eggs. They'll be on the table tomorrow, one on every table in the dining hall. It's a magic number. And you could come and see the Easter egg and see if Christmas is still holding in there, and see if Easter is over or going on. Let us rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, the egg, an old sign of life and death, the resurrection. Even as children and their families wait for eggs to give birth, whether human or whatever. So even get us, O Lord, into that grand mood of expecting life and looking for life even where there is so much death. And tonight, give our village Christmas. Give our hearts Christmas. Those who have come and will come, give them that glimpse of this wonder, this great word if, the great word because, and the great word so. Give us those words, Lord, and the worlds in them. And give us each other, for we need each other, for your gospel to come true in our lives. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now a marvelous Christmas song will be sung by the women. Hymn 21. Men and boys will sing 102. Because we're going to have Easter and Christmas together. We're going to sing the tune 21. And I want Paul to play it through once.
Have the women sing the first.
Yes, yes. I'd like to have the women sing stanza 1 of 21, and then the men will sing stanza 1 of 102, and it'll go back and forth. Then the women will sing, and we men will listen while the women are singing stanza 2. We're going to hear Christmas. Then the women will hear stanza 2 of Easter, and we'll go back and forth, and it's going to work out that hymn 102, the stanza 5, will be sung by all. That's just the way it works. That's the tune. Both hymns will be sung to that tune. Women will sing first, and it'll be Christmas. Then men sing, it'll be Easter. That'll give us a total of 10 stanzas. Okay, good old times. Here we go, women.
Thank you.
men and Easter. Bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas and a happy Easter to you.